Have you ever caught yourself thinking your best days are behind you? That after a certain milestone or age, it's time to coast through the remainder of life? Stephen R. Covey's final work shatters this diminishing perspective with a revolutionary alternative. Live Life in Crescendo presents his culminating philosophy that your most important work is always ahead of you, regardless of age or circumstance. In music, crescendo means to continually swell in grandeur and vigor. Applied to life, it means believing your contributions, learning, and influence can continuously expand rather than contract. This stands in stark opposition to society's common diminuendo approach, where we expect decline and decreased relevance with age. The crescendo mentality isn't just positive thinking, it's a principle of action focused on making meaningful contributions while always looking forward to what's next. Like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, many of us face moments questioning whether our lives truly matter. This midlife crisis typically strikes between 40 and 60, manifesting as burnout, depression, or lack of purpose. Some respond with impulsive decisions, buying flashy cars or abandoning responsibilities. But running away rarely solves the underlying issue. Instead, try redefining success by writing your own obituary. What do you want said about you at your funeral? What legacy do you hope to leave? This exercise clarifies what truly matters and whether your current path aligns with these deeper values. True success isn't measured by wealth or career prominence, but by our impact on others, especially family. As Clayton Christensen observed after watching many successful Harvard classmates experience personal failures, it's actually really important that you succeed at what you're succeeding at, but that isn't going to be the measure of your life. When life seems to be passing you by, looking outside yourself to serve others can be transformative. John Kralik's story exemplifies this principle. At 53, his life was in shambles, failing law firm, second divorce, estranged children, tiny apartment, and recently dumped. Inspired by a thank you note, he committed to writing 365 thank you notes in a year. As he expressed gratitude to friends, co-workers, and service workers, his life improved financially, physically, and emotionally. Despite the economic collapse, he eventually became a Los Angeles Superior Court judge. Similarly, Garth Brooks prioritized what matters by retiring at his career's peak in 2000 to raise his daughters. After 14 years choosing fatherhood over fame, Brooks returned to music when his youngest left for college. His comeback tour sold 140,000 tickets in 3 hours. When contractor Chip Smith was building the Covey's cabin during his painful divorce, Stephen and Sandra drove 350 miles for what was supposed to be a business meeting. Instead, Sandra focused on Chip's personal struggles, saying, "What you're going through now is so much more important to us than worrying about decisions for the cabin." Years later, when Stephen passed away and the family discovered a bat problem, Chip immediately fixed everything and refused payment, his chance to repay their kindness during his darkest time. True happiness comes from contribution, not accumulation. No one on their deathbed wishes they'd spent more time at work, but many regret missed opportunities to serve others and build relationships. Our legacy is ultimately the good we've done and the relationships we've built. After Stephen Covey's death, John Nunes, who maintained the family's vacation equipment in Montana, shared, "Stephen was the only person who truly appreciated what I do for a living." This genuine appreciation had transformative power, showing how acknowledging others' worth creates meaningful impact. Don Quixote exemplifies believing in another's potential. When he meets Aldonza, a peasant and prostitute, he sees beyond her circumstances, calling her Dulcinea and affirming her potential as a virtuous woman. Initially skeptical, she gradually embraces this identity, a self-fulfilling prophecy, demonstrating how people often become what we truly believe of them. John Wooden exemplifies leadership as character building. Despite an initial losing season, he achieved unprecedented success with UCLA basketball. yet wouldn't consider teaching character his highest calling, believing mentorship could be any action that inspires another. Proactive people focus their efforts within their circle of influence, rather than worrying about things they cannot control. By applying positive energy where they can make a difference, they gradually expand their influence. William Wilberforce exemplifies this principle, fighting persistently for 20 years to abolish slavery in Britain despite overwhelming opposition, ultimately succeeding through determination. Similarly, Muhammad Yunus created lasting impact through microfinance. After witnessing Bangladesh's 1974 famine, he lent $27 to 42 village women, discovering that tiny loans could help people escape poverty. His Grameen Bank has provided $4.7 billion to 4.4 million families, with 94% of loans going to women. Even after receiving the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006, Yunus continues working toward putting poverty in a museum. When you genuinely listen to others, you begin to influence them. Your actions speak louder than words, creating ripples of positive change that extend far beyond what you might imagine. Anthony Ray Hinton's story demonstrates the power of choosing one's response to devastating setbacks. Wrongfully sentenced to death row in Alabama in 1985, Ray spent nearly 30 years in prison before exoneration. After 3 years of anger, compassion awakened in him when he heard another inmate crying. He realized that while he couldn't control his circumstances, he could choose his response. Hope, faith, compassion, and love remained available even on death row. Ray became a beacon for fellow inmates and after release chose forgiveness rather than bitterness, saying, "They took my 30s, my 40s, my 50s, but what they couldn't take was my joy." Anna Beninati shows similar resilience after losing both legs in a train hopping accident. Rather than succumbing to self-pity, she chose to move forward, finding greater happiness through hand cycling, weightlifting, horseback riding, and bungee jumping. Today, she coaches disabled athletes and mentors youth symphony members. Viktor Frankl, Holocaust survivor and author of Man's Search for Meaning, discovered that humanity's primary motivating force is finding purpose. While imprisoned, he mentally visualized lecturing about his experiences, giving him hope to endure. Frankl observed that survival in concentration camps wasn't determined by intelligence or health, but by having future purpose, something significant still to accomplish. As he concluded, he knows the why for his existence and will be able to bear almost any how. Retirement should never mean retiring from meaningful contributions. The Longevity Project, an 8-decade study, revealed that happiness results from engagement, productive stress is beneficial, and those who stay engaged live longer. While you may retire from a career, never retire from serving others. Balance leisure with meaningful contribution. As George Bernard Shaw expressed, "I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. Life is no brief candle to me. It's a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment."